بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So inshallah, I'm going to present to you from this week onwards and for the rest of the year, new topics every week inshallah, a new topic. But the way I'm going to deliver these new topics to you, each one's a topic inshallah. I'm going to deliver it based on a very popular and known book that you probably have all heard of. It's called Riyad al-Salihin. Riyad al-Salihin by the great Imam, Al-Imam al-Nawawi. And some of the work that's done around this book is by a modern scholar called Dr. Khalid al-Sabt. So I'm taking some of the work that is done, of course not entirely. And the reason I told you that is just to show you that inshallah we're going off that basis. And of course, as I told you once again, each week will be under a topic. So I'm not going like through the whole book one by one. It'll be 10 years before we finish it. So I'm going to select the topics from there, but just so you know, for those of you who would like to refer to it. For those of you who speak Arabic, you can also refer to Dr. Khalid al-Sabt, Sheikh, scholar, mashallah, amazing. And you can look at his work in Arabic, because I'm going to present some examples that benefit the young people, or the people especially who are growing up in the West. So a lot of the examples I give are a little bit different to the examples that you will hear from sheikhs, that you hear online from overseas, from Arab countries or non-Western countries. We obviously bring to you what benefits you and what we think, what is what I think, inshallah, young people need here and even older people living in the West. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let's begin. The first topic that we must begin, brothers and sisters, is the most important foundation of every Muslim before you can do anything. Can anyone guess what is the most important foundation after the Shahada, declaring that there is only one God worthy of worship, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger? What is the most important foundation for all these acts? Salat. Not salat. An-niyyah. Who said that? Abu Bilal. I think whoever wanted to say that, it's an-niyyah. An-niyyah, which means the intention. The intention. Now, there is two words that we use, and that is ikhlas and niyyah. Ikhlas, which means sincerity, but it means more than that. It means when your heart has sincerity, loyalty, and honesty. Sincerity, loyalty, and honesty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And niyyah means the intention of why you do what you do. Brothers and sisters, if these two aspects are not your foundation, they're not correct and proper inside your heart, no action that you do will mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may mean something to someone you love, your family, yourself, your business, your children, could be for fame, fortune, whatever you want, but all those are temporary, they're for this world. However, a Muslim can grab two worlds, this world and the next world, through a foundation called sincerity and correct intentions. My brothers and sisters, I cannot emphasize this. You know, if somebody wants to become a Muslim, not Muslim, and wants to revert to Islam, or some people use the word convert, the point is they embrace Islam, and they say the Shahada, while in their hearts, their intention is something else. They're not really intending to become Muslim, but for example, the intention was just for the purpose of marriage. It's because they want to marry someone, and without saying the Shahada, they can't marry them. Or a person who is a Muslim already and wants to pray, salat, like my brother here said, salat is a foundation that says an action. But if you do your salah, your prayer, with a false intention, for example, to please people or to look good, for fame or some gain, or you do it, for example, because you want to marry some man's daughter, or to look good in front of some person's mother by coming to the mosque, because you see them at the mosque and you're just doing that really just to try and look good, and that's your only intention. All of this, brothers and sisters, renders your actions void, destroys the action. So let us, inshallah, talk about it. Now, the Muslim's relationship, how do we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our relationship in dealing with Allah, a Muslim, this is the Islamic belief, our relationship with Allah is dealt upon intentions and sincerity. There is also a third thing, and that is to complete it, and that is the correctness of the action. And if I have a good intention to do something with good intentions, but I do it in the way that I think is morally correct, if that moral perception, that moral opinion of mine goes directly against the moral command or guidance of Allah, whatever appears in the Quran goes against the command of Allah, goes against the prohibition of Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it doesn't matter what your intention is. You can have the best intention in the world, it will not be accepted. So the intention has to be right, you have to be honest in the heart, and the action has to also be right. Example, I have young people ask me sincerely, they just don't know, they've never been taught, that on Eid, for example, on celebrations, they say, can I hug, so say a boy says, who is a teenager, can I hug my family friend, say he's 16, hug my family friend who's also 16. He's not mahram, yani Allah has forbidden physical contact between men and women who are not directly related to each other, like a brother, sister, father, mother, and so on. But they say, my intention is good. They're family, friends, we grew up together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden that for several wisdoms and reasons. Now, if you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you know that Allah doesn't tell you to not do something for no good reason, then that's a problem. You have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might have good intentions, but good intentions do not make haram halal. I might have good intentions in driving you down to the local vaping shop and the shisha joint because I want to be a good friend, but with the wrong action. Does that make my action to take you there correct? No, just because I've got good intentions. I may have good intentions to help you go and steal and justify in a way to say, that's okay, that shop owner is rude to the customers anyway, he deserves to be stolen from. The shaitan comes to me and says, that's a good intention, so let's go and do it together. Or to go and bash some person who had a fight with my cousin, even though it was my cousin's fault, instead of trying to fix the situation, I say, no, I'm loyal to my cousin and friends, mate, I've got to go and bash him. The intention is good that you want to be loyal to your friend, but the action is wrong. And you can understand, fill in the gap, so many examples. Having said this, let's first of all start with a verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says about intentions and sincerity. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ.
Allah says in chapter 98 verse 5, and they were commanded not, but that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone, abstaining from ascribing partners to Him, and to perform as-salah and give zakah, and that is the right religion. The word used here is mukhlisina lahuddin, which means worshipping Him with full sincerity, loyalty, and honesty. Not associating partners with Him, because if I intend to pray to Allah, but I'm worshipping Allah And what I'm really doing is that I'm doing it for some worldly gain only, and I'm not really worshipping Allah because I want to worship Allah. Believing in Allah, Allah says, you've made partners with me. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Iblis, the shaitan. When shaitan, the original Iblis, not just any Satan or jinn, the Iblis that's talking about in the Quran, when he was with the ranks of the angels and he was a jinn. And when Allah created Adam alayhi salam and he became jealous and envious of this creation and he was boasted with arrogance and he would not accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree and his judgment and his creation and his choice and his decision, he rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling him, you're not fair, I'm fair, how could you make him better than me, that's not fair. And he disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness of his, what, of his justice. So he disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made a promise. He said to Allah, he said, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He said, by your honor and majesty, I will lead his children, I will lead them all astray. I'm going to lead all these humans astray. And then he said, Iblis, except your servants among them, so not all the servants are like this, among them, who are true and sincere to you. So who does shaitan have the greatest power over or influence? The people who give him the power. Who are they? They are the ones who are not honest to Allah. They're not sincere. Their intentions are hazy-daisy, wobble-wobble, up and down, hanky-panky, not right. They are twisted, crooked. Now, who is the one that knows the intentions? Two people know the intentions. Who are they? Yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is correct. Nobody can see anyone's intention. Only you know and Allah knows. So, let us get something straight. It is forbidden for any person, any Muslim, to judge the intention of a person. Why? Because it is impossible for anyone to see the hearts of people. Otherwise, it is a type of claiming that you know the unseen. The only one who knows the unseen is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone who claims to know the intention of someone is a type of minor shirk. And if you say, I know the unseen, that it's a major shirk. Yeah, and the minor shirk is when a person says, look man, just from his look I know his intention. If you mean it in a way that you know the unseen, you have some godly powers of some sort, it is shirk. But if you're saying, look, I've got experience with people, I doubt that person's intention, that's not shirk. That's just experience. But you cannot for sure say what a person's intention is. You can never say absolutely. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we do know is actions on the outside. You and I, as humans, we normally judge. Everybody judges. It's a normal, natural thing. But there is a difference between judging a person's action to say, you are destined to the punishment of Allah. Allah is therefore angry with you. To make a judgment upon their intentions, when something is not clear, is wrong in Islam. But we can judge an action of a person. Yeah, the action itself, when we have to separate it from the heart. We have to say, this action is an action which Allah called a shirk. This action is an action which the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us is a major sin. That's why don't be upset, brothers and sisters, or take it to heart, if somebody points out to you a wrong thing that you're doing. Now, I know people have a bad approach. Some people have a harsh approach, a judgmental approach. That's wrong on their part to come in a harsh manner. This is not in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you can avoid that and just look into yourself and take from it what benefits you, Maybe Allah has sent you someone to give you a little reminder. We all go through it. I've gone through it all my life where people tell me or advise me. Some of them were harsh, some of them were judgmental, some of them really wanted the best for me. I leave that between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can train yourself to rise above it. Don't respond to their harshness, and just look into yourself. If you believe what they say, then look into yourself. If you truly are doing something wrong, try your best to fix it. If you're not doing anything wrong, dismiss them. They're just, shaitan is using them to come to you. That requires a lot of strength and a lot of practice. At the end of the day, Allah will ask you about your action. He will not ask you about other people's actions. We can only control our behavior. We cannot control other people's behavior. We can advise them. We can say your approach is bad. And people usually have a bad approach, normally are not successful. And we're going to talk about those people today as well. Receiving the advice and those who give it, those who judge. We're going to talk about intentions. This is where it comes down to. Very crucial. One verse in the Quran which always strikes me and scares me and should scare you as well. And when we say scare, it means only to keep us aware. So when we say we're afraid or we're scared, it's not in order to make us mentally distressed, but we take it in the meaning of we need to fix ourselves and keep going and be aware, like anything else. So fear can be bad and fear can be good for your mental health. Fear can be bad for your mental health and fear can be good for your mental health. If you take it as a constructive way, a way to keep you aware, then inshallah it's good for you. But if you take it as a compulsive fear where you do nothing about it and you're just obsessed with it and filled with anxiety without any real fear happening there and just say it's over for me, then that's not good. That's bad health and Allah doesn't want you to be like that. He reminds you in order for you to live a life between hope and fear, not just fear and not just hope. So hope in itself will make us neglect our duties, and fear on its own will make us give up and not do anything. So somewhere in between. My brothers and sisters, let's move now to the first hadith, which is very important in this book, Riyad al-Salihin. This hadith is in Bukhari and in Muslim. And the narrator is Abi Hafs Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. This is a hadith everybody should memorize and learn and teach your children. The hadith is as follows. The deeds are considered by their intentions. Deeds are considered by their intentions. And a person will get the reward according to his intention. So whoever emigrated for Allah and his messenger, for example, his emigration will be for Allah and his messenger. And whoever emigrated for worldly benefits or for a woman to marry, for example, his emigration would be for that, for what he emigrated for. Now, of course, these are just two examples that Rasulullah is giving. But they're just examples. You can add more. Anything we do in our life, there are two things about it. The first part, he says, the deeds are considered by their intention. Then he says, and a person will get the reward according to his intention. Now, people might think they're the same wordings, they're the same meaning, but they are not. They're actually two different meanings. One is talking about the action itself, and the other one is talking about what you will gain from that action, the value of that action. One is talking about the action itself, what is its meaning, what does it mean? And the second line is, what is this action's value? What do you get out of it? So, for the action to mean something, you have to see what your intention is. Then we can tell what is this action really, nature of the action. The second line, what do you gain out of this action? Again, it also depends on your intention. Both the nature of the action and what do you gain out of this action, both of them rely on your intention. Everybody understand that part? Who can repeat to me? These two lines, they mean two different things. Actions are by intentions, and the reward of the intention is, and the reward of the action is based on the intention. So the first one is talking about what? The second one is talking about what? First one is talking about the action, the nature of the action. And the second one, what you get out of the action. Both of them are determined by one thing. What is it? The intention. So the intention is the common factor between the two. Correct? All right. Now that you understood that part, let's move to the first line. Actions are by intentions. What is the nature of the action? What is the purpose? Well, by your intention. My brothers and sisters, these actions are based on three cases. Number one, to know the nature of this action, our intention will determine the validity of an action of worship. So, the first thing about the nature of an action, our intentions will tell us about whether an action is valid or not valid. Example, if I'm going to make wudu, do I need an intention? Yes, I do. So, certain actions of worship need an intention in order for the action to be valid. If I want to pray my Salat al-Dhuhr, do I need an intention? Yes. If I want to fast Ramadan, do I need an intention? If I'm going to Hajj, do I need an intention? All these acts of worship are stated in the Quran and Sunnah. You need to have the right intention. And the whole idea of the intention is, when you come to make wudu, you say Bismillah, your intention is already in your heart that you're making wudu. So there's no problem. The only time your wudu will no longer be valid is when you make a different intention. And for example, if I come to make wash my hand, my face, my legs, my arms, my head, just like, you know, wudu. But my intention is not for wudu. My intention is just to rub off the dirt that's on my face, hands and legs. I have no intention of wudu. Does it become wudu? No, it doesn't. If I come to pray, but my intention is not to pray, my intention is just to have a bit of exercise movement. Is the intention, is the prayer valid? No. So it needs the right intention. I'm coming to pray, I'm coming to make wudu. So that's the first thing. Intention tells us the validity of the action. Number two, to determine the type of worship that I'm doing, I need the right intention. For example, if I'm praying the farad prayer, and I'm praying the sunnah prayer, do I need a different intention for both of them? Yeah, I do. If I'm come to pray the farad prayer, my intention is to pray the farad. But now I'm praying the sunnah, my intention is sunnah, correct? If I'm going to give zakah, my intention has to be zakah. If I'm giving normal charity, my intention is normal charity. So this is the second case of what intentions does. Number three, to determine whether it's worship or everyday habits. My intention determines whether it's everyday habits or worship. Example, if I am doing ghusl, bathing for Jumu'ah, for Friday, because I'm doing it because it is a sunnah, it is a recommended act in Islam to bathe for Friday prayer, because I want to meet Allah while I'm bathed and clean. Now, bathing can be an everyday act, or you can turn it into an act of worship. Isn't that correct? So, if my intention to bathe on Thursday night or Friday morning is for the purpose of the blessing of Friday, suddenly that bathing becomes an act of worship. But if I have no intention about the blessed day of Jumu'ah, and I just bathe because for the sake of it, is it an act of worship anymore? No. It becomes a halal act of cleaning yourself. Correct? All right. If I have an intention to bathe, because in Islam it is fitrah and good for a Muslim to be clean, so that when they pray, does it become an act of worship? Yes, it does. So the intention determines the action, if it's worship or it's just a normal day-to-day action. We have a question. No. So that's a good question. Do you make the intention out loud? There is nothing in the Quran or Sunnah which determines and says to you that you must say with your mouth the intention. The only two places that you say your intention is in Umrah and Hajj. You say it out loud. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً وَلَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجًّا. Allah, I intend to you visit your house with the intention of Hajj or with the intention of Umrah. You say it loud. And you can say the word tamattu' or the type of Hajj. But every other action, it is by the heart. Now, there's some difference of opinion among the scholars. Some say, no, you have to say it with your mouth, some schools of thought, but the majority of the scholars, and even those who say you say it with the mouth, they tell you, at the end of the day, what determines it is what you do in your heart. And I'll give you an example why it should be in the heart. Let's say I've come with the intention to pray Dhuhr, but I come to pray with the intention of Dhuhr, but I accidentally said with my mouth, I intend to pray Asr. Would it count as Dhuhr or Asr? Dhuhr. Why? Because the intention of the heart is what matters. And then they'll say to you, well, of course, you know, that cancels it out, you know, because your intention in the heart was to pray Dhuhr. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to the heart. My brothers and sisters, there are exceptions to your actions. Let's have a look. There are some actions which do not necessarily need an intention. You don't need to have a correct intention for these actions. They are rewarded to you. Allah rewards you for them without needing to have an intention. What are they? Number one, any selfless act that you do for someone. Rights of any creatures that you do. Avoiding what is wrong. All this does not really need an intention. You are rewarded for it. On three conditions. Number one, you're not doing it to show off or fame. Number two, you're not doing it for an ill intention. You want to, like, you're using someone. And number three, you are not doing it for a sinful gain. So if I help someone to go to buy drugs, it's a good act of giving a person a ride, but I'm doing it for a sin. If I help someone get out of the rain or to make their way to the car if they can't make it there because I want money from them, well, the intention now is for a gain, isn't it? Or if I'm doing it to put myself on social media and show people how much of a great person I am, now that action is no longer rewarded. Or if I bring a smile to someone, but all I'm really doing is for the intention of people thinking of me for reputation, so I'm no longer going to get rewarded from Allah. But if I help someone for the sake of helping, for the sake of goodness, and you are a Muslim believer, Allah will reward you in this world and in the hereafter. If you're a non-Muslim and you say, I just want to do it for the sake of goodness, you don't, obviously for a non-Muslim in Islam, you don't have a reward in the hereafter because you don't believe in it and you've rejected it. Or this is another case now, but let's say a person's disbeliever. Allah may reward that person in this life, give you some reward or ward off harm from you in this life. Anyway, that needs explanation. Let's look at some of the actions which you don't need an intention for, and Allah rewards you for them anyway. And these are what the scholars agree upon. For example, giving a thirsty person water, giving a lift for someone to a good place or halal place, smiling and bringing a smile to your brethren, paying a debt of someone, reconciling between two people, returning a favor, returning a right to someone, paying for someone, paying on behalf of someone, for example, a meal or a food or something, feeding someone, saying a nice word that brings goodness to someone's heart, moving an obstacle off the road. All of these, you don't need to wait and to wait there until you get your intention right and then you do them. They're day-to-day good actions that you just do normally. The fact that you have already wanted Allah to reward you, the fact that you are a believer and a Muslim and you look forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarding you, Allah just rewards you. Even the hadith about the woman who fed a dog. Remember the prostitute woman in there from Bani Israel, children of Israel, which is in Bukhari, the woman that wanted Allah to forgive her, she found a dog and gave the dog a drink. The hadith doesn't say that she had any kind of intention, but the fact that she did that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her. And so Allah is ذو فضل على الناس. Allah is full of favor upon people. He rewards you without accountability. and Allah gives you without holding you accountable. Min ghayri hisab. Allah says in the Quran, He is the one who gives you and rewards you with no accountability. You do good, Allah will reward you. So brothers and sisters, there are some acts you don't really need an intention every time. Now I intend to help this person. Now I intend to, you don't do that. My brothers and sisters, therefore, which everyday acts, therefore, are dependent on intention then? Everyday acts like this that depend on intention are the things that you're going to make a gain out of. So if I helped someone in order to gain something, right, then that's where my intention really matters. I might help somebody in which I get a present or a gift out of, but I help them for the sake of Allah or for the sake of goodness, and I'm a Muslim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards me for it, but I got a gain out of that. That's okay, so long as your intention was not for the gain. But sometimes I may do something for a bit of a gain and also for the sake of Allah, and we're going to talk about that soon. Then that way you hit two birds with one stone. You get a bit of rewards from Allah and a bit of rewards from the gain, inshallah. But we're going to get to that. Brothers and sisters, the next part, the gain is what you intended for. Okay, what is the reward? It's what you wanted out of what you did. Why did you do it? Whatever you did it for, this is what your reward is from Allah. You get what you get depending on your intention. Don't be upset. Is that what they say? You get what you get, don't be upset. For example, you bought a car to get to work and drive around every day only. That's why you bought a car. That is called a worldly gain. What do you get out of that? Do you get rewards from Allah for buying a car because you want to get to work and back and just for everyday driving and that's it? No, you're not going to get hasanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor are you going to get sins. It's just a worldly gain. It's halal. You got your car. Tayyib, second example. You worked in order to save up for Hajj. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for that work? Yes, because the intention to work was for what? For Hajj. Remember the hadith we mentioned last time when the Sahabas, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, saw a man, young man, he was strong, fit, and he was walking and struggling and going to work. And they said, if only he used that body for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, if he is working in order to provide for elderly parents that he's looking after, then it is for the sake of Allah. If he's working in order to provide for children who are dependent on him, then it is for the sake of Allah. If he is working in order to get married so that he doesn't resort to haram means, then it is for the sake of Allah. So again, you get what you intended for. The last example, you went to Hajj to be called a righteous person when you return. Do you get rewarded from Allah? No. Do you get sinned? Yes, it's a sin. It's a sin because that person used an act of worship that's meant to be for Allah in order to gain fame, popularity, and a good name. Any act of worship that is meant to be for Allah, like Hajj, Umrah, reciting the Quran, praying, fasting, if I do it, in order that I get fame or some kind of worldly gain out of it only, then it becomes an act of shirk. Some people, they go to Hajj with the intention of when they return, they can earn the title Hajji. What do you think? Good or bad? Everybody know it's bad. But you see, people do that anyway with their intention. We can't judge their intentions. Isn't that right? Some people go to the masjid, to the mosque, in order to get the title religious guy. My students back at school, back in the days, they used to use a word called FRG, fake religious guy or fake religious girl. That's what it means, right? But of course, we cannot judge a person to be an FRG. That's judging their intention. But you know yourself. So the reward or the sin, or the value of what you're doing depends on what your intention was. So these are three types, brothers and sisters. I repeat them. To intend for something worldly to help you out, it's not a sin, nor is it a reward from Allah. Number two, to do something that you intend out of it, to do some good deed for the sake of Allah, you get rewarded. And number three, you do something in order, you do an act of worship in order to please people or to show it off or to gain some reputation, that is sinful. And sometimes it could be also shirk. Brothers and sisters, there are seven ranks of intentions. How many ranks? Seven. I'm going to quickly enumerate them to you. We start with the highest rank, the best intention ever, the greatest reward for it ever, the best action, the best reward. What is it? It is an act of worship that is solely and completely for the sake of Allah. You're not after anything else but that. No worldly gain, whether it's halal gain or haram gain, nothing. And I'll give you an example. You go to Hajj, but you also go to Hajj, you go to Hajj for the sake of Allah, but on the way, you also use that time to make some business. You buy some things in order to come back and sell them and make some profit. Is that halal or haram? That is halal, because Allah says in the Quran, there is no harm upon you for whoever goes to Hajj and seeks benefit from worldly gains. But the highest rank would be to go to Hajj without any intention of gaining any business or profit, purely just for the sake of Allah, and you come back. That's the highest rank. Going to Hajj with the intention of also making business now comes to the second rank. The second rank. An act of worship for the sake of Allah, but you also get other halal benefits out of it. For example, a person fasts for the sake of Allah, but also for the health benefits that fasting gives you. Is that halal or haram? That is halal. So you're fasting for the sake of Allah, but you also would like to have the intention of gaining benefit from its health benefits. Now, inshallah, your fasting's still all well and good and you get top rewards, but it's not the highest rank. Another example, you walk to the mosque wanting Allah's pleasure, but you also want to do exercise. Might as well walk also, a bit of exercise for me. Two birds with one stone. Very rewarding, but not the highest rank. A third example, you give in charity, but you also want your wealth to be blessed from charity, because you know you heard Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Ma naqasa malun min sadaqa." Charity never has caused diminishing of wealth. So you say, wow, that gives barakah to my wealth. I'll give sadaqah for the sake of Allah, but also for my other wealth to be blessed as a result of the sadaqah. So you got two intentions. They're great intentions, but that's not the highest rank. It's a high rank, but not the highest. And I'll throw in another intention. You heard about the Prophet ﷺ saying, whoever connects his family ties, whoever wants their health to be better and their wealth to be greater and their life to be longer, connect your family ties and be good to your relatives and direct, you know, relatives such as your parents, siblings, and direct relatives. So you say, you know what, I'm going to connect the family ties for the sake of Allah. There's a great reward, but also so I can gain what the Prophet ﷺ told me about, and that is extra life, extra health, and extra wealth. Great intentions, but not the highest rank. Of course, most of us are in that position. Number three, there's the third rank. Let's say you had the intention for something that is worldly halal, a worldly halal act. That's the third rank. I do an intention in order, as I gave you the example before, I work and I apply for that job so that I can look after my family and livelihood. That is a good intention, but it's the third rank in the ranks. Number fourth rank, an act of worship that is mixed with ups and downs of showing off. So you know when you stand up on stage, let's say you want to give a public speech in front of people, or you're going to recite Quran as an introduction to an event that's happening, or you joined a charity organization, or an activity, an event at the mosque, or in the community that is helping people in the community in some way. You go for the sake of Allah, but as you're in there, you start getting praises, you get compliments, you go back home and you think, wow, you know, I look good in front of that sister over there, and I look good in front of that marriage material brother over there, and so on. So you go there, and then you start, your intentions start getting wibbly wobbly, a little bit of ups and downs. And so the next time you go, you think, I'm going to go because, you know, of more praise. It made me feel good of what people are saying about me. So this is a mix of wanting something for the sake of Allah and getting stuck and mixed up with praises of people. It's always nice to receive praise, and it's good to be happy about praise. But now, if my intention is a mix of pleasing Allah and pleasing people at the same time, now my rewards are mixed. And the scholars differed about that. Some said, listen, if you go back home and you say, oh Allah, forgive me for their overpraising, don't hold me accountable for their overpraising of me, forgive me for the sins they don't know about me, and make me better than what they have praised me, then inshallah, your intention is fixed. So you've got to always try to fix your intention to make sure the entire work is fully rewarded, inshallah ta'ala. So that's the fourth rank. The fifth rank, they are acts of worship and worldly, but solely and only for worldly gain. You do an act of worship, and it's also an act of worldly gain. So you, whether it's praying and fasting, wearing the hijab, covering yourself, which is all acts of worship, and at the same time, you also do things for your worldly gain, but you do nothing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of it is really for Allah. It's all for a worldly gain. Some people, they do that. All their actions are really for a worldly gain. So for example, the only reason I would go to a mosque and attend the prayers is because they promised me to pay me a fee. The only reason I'll go and pray imam is only because I'm earning money. That's my sole intention. Or the only reason I went to Hajj is so that people can pay me to do Hajj on behalf of their dead relatives. And I turn it into a business. My sole intention is business. And everything else in my life is business. So my whole sole intentions for everything I do, whether worship or worldly, it's all business, all a benefit. I won't do it if there's no benefit for me, worldly. Everything about it is, if there's no worldly gain, I ain't doing it. Why should I? They don't deserve it. Okay, what about for the sake of Allah? Nah, just don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Obviously, these are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءَ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. Whoever wants this fast life, then we will give them this fast life. Don't be fooled by people who you see getting so much out of this world that you think God must love them, they must be blessed, they must be doing the right thing. Oh no. Gaining and losing are both tests, and some of them, sometimes they can be a test which destines you to a punishment because you're failing in it. So be careful about the intention. عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. We'll give some people as much of it for whoever we will. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. But then at the end of the day, he only gets hellfire, which he will be entering it with as a loser with no gain, because that was his intention. The sixth rank, acts of worship and non-worship solely for fame and showing off. So some people, they do it to gain, and some people, they do it for something aesthetic or feeling. So I just want to show off. I want my likes and views to go up. I want people to comment and more comments, and that's all really I'm after. So there's no actual money, it can be later, but it's for fame and reputation. And some of the signs of these types of people are the ones who, when, let's say, they go on social media and they say, I want to do da'wah. I want to say a hadith. I want to write a comment to help Muslims and people and guide them to the deen. But really, Allah knows that my intention is really just to look good. I just want praise. One sign of that, you find that I'm constantly going back to the comments to see what people are praising me with. And the only thing that makes me happy is praise. And the only thing that makes me upset is when somebody says something bad. And because my whole intention is really never for worship or da'wah, it's really about people and me. It's about me, myself, and I. So these types of people have also lost their rewards, brothers and sisters. There is a seventh rank. The seventh rank is where it's the worst. Actions of worship and non-worship solely for showing off, for worldly gain, and for sinful gain, altogether, everything. These are the worst types. All I'm doing is money, fame, and haram. Everything. Money, fame, and haram. And that's, be careful. I believe the majority of the world is like that. Money, fame, and haram all at the same time. My brothers and sisters, something positive. Intentions are like this. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if a person intends to do something good and then does not do it, will get one hasana, one reward still. And if a person intended to do something good, then ended up doing it, will get a reward from 10-fold to 700-fold. Allah looks at what you deserve. Then he said, however, whoever intends to do something bad, sinful, and then they do it, it'll only be written as one bad deed. It won't be folds of 10 to 700. But if they intended to do a sin and change their mind for the sake of Allah, it'll be written as a good deed for that person. Do you understand these four areas? I intended and determined to do something good, but then I changed my mind, I'll still get one good deed from Allah. For the fact that I was determined to do it, but I just didn't. Number two, if I do it, a good deed, I get from 10 up to 700 rewards, only Allah knows. Then if I intend to do a bad deed and I was determined, but then I did it, I'll get one bad deed. And then if I change my mind for the sake of Allah, I get one good deed for changing my mind for doing that bad deed. Okay, question. What if I intended to do a good deed and then something out of my control stopped me and I didn't get to do it? What's the reward for that? One hasana, or hands up if you think it's just one hasana. I intended to do a good deed and then something outside of my control stopped me. I couldn't do it. Hands up for one hasana. Hands up from 10 to 700 folds. Hands up for nothing. Okay, they're correct. Good. Alhamdulillah, you're listening. I'm so worried about you because it can get draining. So, yes, actions are by their intentions. The action, the nature of the action is good. The intention is great. You'll still get rewarded 10 to 700 because something stopped you. I'll give you an example. It happened to me, so I'll use my example. The other day I was with my friend. We had some breakfast. He said, wallahi, I'm paying. Happens to you? Happens to everybody. Wallahi, I'm paying. I said, no. He said, wallahi, I'm paying. I go, okay, you're paying. Comes up, gets his card out. Card didn't work. Puts his hand in his pocket, no cash. No, he's a sincere brother. I know, some people, they act like that. No cash. Ooh, the card blocked. This brother's very sincere, alhamdulillah. Allah, he got very embarrassed, so I paid. Does he still get the reward? 10 to 700 folds? Yes, he does. Do I get rewarded, inshallah? Depending on my intention. I may have paid because I thought, I've been asking this guy to lend me money for a long time. This is an opportunity. I'll pay, and then later I say, the money that I asked you for. Remember the time I paid you? If I do that, my intention is wrong. Do I get rewarded if I'm just using him? There is a joke about Jihi. Have you ever heard of Jihi? Or in Turkish, they call him Hoja. Yeah? Is that Hoja something? Anyways, he does jokes, right? It's a traditional thing. So he had a neighbor, and this neighbor will not do any good deed if there's no worldly gain for him. If he doesn't get anything out of it, he's not going to do it. So one day, it was raining, and Jihi, or Hoja, was running in the rain. He had no umbrella, and he hated the rain. So his neighbor sees him, and he's got an umbrella, and his neighbor is saying, Hoja, oh, I hate the rain. Why does it have to rain? So he comes up, puts the umbrella over his head. When he got home, he says, thank you. He said, I know, subhanAllah. Imagine how soaked you would be if I wasn't there with the umbrella. He goes, true. Next day, he sees his neighbor. He says, hey, neighbor, Hoja, what do you reckon? Remember yesterday? umbrella. Imagine what would have happened to you, man, if I wasn't there. Third day comes along, he invites him. There's some people eating together in front of everybody. The neighbor, Hoja, tell him about that last time. If I wasn't there, imagine what would have happened. Now, the guy's getting annoyed. He says, all right, what do you want, man? It was an umbrella. So anyway, he kept on reminding him. One day, Hoja takes him to a river. He goes, where are you taking me? He goes, just come with me. Goes to the river, and he goes, wait right there. He looks at him, and he jumps into the river and comes out the other side all soaked. He goes, remember the other day when I was raining and you had the umbrella? And you keep asking me, imagine what would have happened to me? Not more than this, there. Now stop mentioning it, I'm all soaked already. That's all that would have happened to me. You might call it a dad joke. Fine, go for it. But the point of the matter is that some people, they just do it for a gain, reputation, or fame. Tayyib, what if a person was going to do a bad deed? They intended and they planned to do it. And then something happened outside of their control and they couldn't execute the bad deed. Do they get a sin? Or do they get nothing? Or do they get one good deed because they didn't end up doing it? Hands up for those who say they get a good deed because they didn't end up doing it. You like the way I say it, huh? They didn't end up doing it. Yeah. Next one. What if they get a sin? Anyone? They'll still get the sin? Number three. Khalas, he was saved. Neutral. Won't get a good deed or a sin. God saved him. See how I trick you?
He didn't decide not to do it. There was something.
Correct. He didn't decide not to do it. Something stopped him. He still wanted to do it. All right. The correct answer is he still gets the sin. Why? Because what the brother said. He didn't stop. He still has the intention. He's probably swearing that he couldn't do it. Right? Still gets the sin. But what if that person later on looks and thinks, subhanAllah, you know what? This is a wake-up call for me. Allah brought this around. I couldn't do it. And alhamdulillah, it stopped. Astaghfirullah al-Azim, man. I shouldn't have had that intention. Would they get a good deed? Yes. Now it does. Because the intention has changed. You understand? I've got another example for you. Let's say you saw someone who is rich and famous. And they get to go to casinos. And they get to go to great parties in the most expensive places. And so on. In all the haram environments, because they got money and fame. And you don't have the ability to do that. And then you say to yourself, man, I wish I had fame and fortune like that guy so that I can go and have fun the same way he has fun, but I don't have it. Does he get sinned for that? Or no sin or nothing? Guess what? Get sinned. And this is actually in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, a person who says, if only I had what that person had, I would do the haram that that person does, even if they're poor. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَكِلَاهُمَا سَوَاءَ. The hadith is also in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari. He says, كِلَاهُمَا سَوَاءَ. They are equal. They have another one. A person wanted to kill another innocent life. But that innocent life also intended to kill that other person. Let's not use the word innocent. Two people, one wanted to kill this person wanted to kill that person. Both of them had the intention. And then one of them got killed, the other one survived. Who's the sin on?
Both.
And that's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Al-qatilu wal-maqtulu fi'n-nar. The one who killed and the one that got killed is in the fire. Why? If the other one had the chance, he was going to kill him too. So it comes down to the intention. All right, I've got another question for you. Let's say my intention is to one day... Let's say I don't pray, God forbid. And I say, man, I really want to pray. I really want to get better. And inshallah, I will. And I really have the intention. And I really have the determination. But I still haven't. And let's say something compulsory. I've got to pray my 5 daily prayers. I've got to start being honest in my trade. I've got to stop doing a certain major sin. And I say, I have the intention. I want to. According to this hadith, Rasulullah says, whoever intends and determines and then doesn't do it will still get one good deed. What about this case? What if it's something that's compulsory that Allah commanded me to do and I have the intention, but I still don't do it? Will I still get that one good deed because I had the intention? Yes, hands up, yes. Hands up, no. The answer is no. No. The hadith is talking about any voluntary good deed, not the commanded good deeds, not the compulsory ones. But if I do the compulsory ones, it's more reward than all the voluntary deeds, because nothing more beloved to Allah than the things He made compulsary. If I say, if I'm a woman and I say, I know I have to be dressing better and properly, I know that hijab is a must, I know Allah said so, and I really have the intention, I love Allah, I love His Messenger, but I'm not doing it. Am I going to get rewarded for that? No. No, because Allah commanded it. Tayyib, I don't pray, I'm not fasting, but I want to fast. I'm not wearing hijab, but I want to wear the hijab. I want to deal in halal, but I'm still dealing in haram, and so on and so on and so on. Am I sinned? I'm still sinned, even though I have the intention. Why? Because the nature of my action is wrong. It's a compulsory act, and that one's a major sin. So it's talking about voluntary, everyday good deeds and everyday sins that I'm not doing yet. But if I'm doing them and my intention is to stop them, I'm still going to get sinned. Now, of course, someone with the intention is better off than someone who doesn't have the intention at all. So it's not all gloom and doom. Having the intention and really wanting to is a good thing, but you're still stuck in the sin. You're not getting rewarded yet. But it is a less bad situation, less sinful than someone who never intends. That's a big thing. Someone who never intends, never says, I am ever going to get better. And then there are those who intend, and then they can't do it straight away, so they take it step by step. They say, look, you know what? I can't do the whole 5 daily prayers. I'll do 2. I'll do 3. Okay, that's better than the person who does only 1. But still, you're going to be accountable for the other 2, and so on. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? It's, yeah, the matter is, subhanAllah, it's how Allah judges our intentions, our actions, our abilities. My brothers and sisters, the last thing I want to talk about today before we finish and go to your questions is something really good about this whole intention thing. Some people have asked me, if I want to do an act that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I would also like to earn money by doing it, does that make me sinful or make my action of worship void? Before you answer it, let me just get one thing out of the way. Any act of worship that is commanded upon everybody to do, every Muslim, such as the 5 daily prayers, the fasting, the hajj, the hijab, the zakat, all of that, no one is permitted to do it for any gain whatsoever except solely for the sake of Allah. Let's get that out of the way. Anybody who mixes is shirk. The rest of the good deeds that are pleasing to Allah, but only some people can do them and others can't, can I get money for it? For example, if I want to be an imam of a mosque, to pray imams and lead the 5 daily prayers or some prayers, and to lead the khutbah and other work that the imam does, is this for everybody? No. Only certain people. Okay, that's one example. Another example, if I want to teach the Quran to people, students, and I want to get paid for it, can everybody do it? Not everybody. No, it's not compulsory upon everybody to teach the Quran. And not everybody can do it. Some people can do it. But they say, I would like to be paid to teach the Quran. Or I would like to be paid in order to teach Islamic studies. Or I want to be paid in order to give a lecture on stage. Or I would like to be paid in order to give a ruqya. You know, ruqya, spiritual healing. You recite Quran for someone who is sick or ill. Or I get paid to do Hajj, or I do Hajj, I get paid to do Hajj. All these actions, actually the Hajj one, I'll fix it up. I've already done my Hajj, but I want to do Hajj for someone else, but, you know, pay me for my efforts of going to Hajj. All these actions that I just mentioned, do you think they void the act of worship there? Or is it permissible to earn money for it? Hands up if you think it's not permissible. Hands up if you think it is permissible. Hands up if you don't know. Okay, good. Whoever says I don't know has given a fatwa. So obviously, there is a slight difference of opinion on some of them among the scholars, but the majority and the correct view is that you can. It's permissible. However, they made a formula. This is the formula. They said, and learn this principle, brothers and sisters, من حج ليأخذ لم يجز ومن أخذ ليحج جاز. For those of you who know Arabic, من حج ليأخذ لم يجز ومن أخذ ليحج جاز. Whoever goes to Hajj in order to get paid, it's not allowed. But whoever gets paid in order to go to Hajj, it is allowed. So it comes down to the intention. So if I'm teaching Quran and I need to be paid for my time in order to teach the Quran, then it's halal. If I want to be the imam of a mosque and I get paid in order to make myself available and come and pray at the mosque imam and so on, then it's allowed. If I want to get paid in order to give ruqya, I'm allowed. And here is some evidence. The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari 5737. There was a group of companions who went along the way, and they arrived at a tribe and they were bad to them, and they said to them, give us some food or whatever, and they said no. And then their chief got stung by a scorpion or a snake, and they said to them, do you have any kind of spiritual medication? So they gave him medication, of course, and they also believed in a spiritual healing. And we know that in Islam there is ruqya. You give medication and you say bismillah, Allahumma anta shafi la shifa illa shifa wa shifa la yughadiru saqama, or you recite al-Fatiha. So they said to these companions, do you have any among you who knows any ruqya, spiritual healing, from Prophet ﷺ taught you? And then the companion, his name was Sa'id, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said, you guys treated us bad, so we're not going to give you a ruqya unless you pay us for it. So they said, all right. So he recited al-Fatiha along with the medication for that chief, and the chief became better after a few days. And what they did was they gave him a flock of sheep. So they said, okay, we'll take it with us, but we're not going to accept it. We might return it until we ask the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam if this is allowed. So they went back, and some of the companions said to him, Ya Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, you took this reward for Quran, it's haram, you know, taking money for Quran. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said to them what happened. And he said to them, Subhanallah, how did you know that Surah Al-Fatiha is a ruqya? Take the flock of sheep and I'll also take some of it from you. What does it mean to take some of it? In order to prove to them that even if the Rasul ﷺ took from it, then it is halal. In another version, he said, you are most entitled to take wages from doing a ruqya with Allah's book. And the best type of work. So some people, they can do any other job, but they choose to do a job that is beneficial and rewarding religiously for people, then Allah rewards these people for choosing that job. Not the other way around. I've heard some people, they say, oh, it's haram, it's impermissible. No, it's not. No, it's not. So long as the intention is right to benefit people with the Quran and earn money in order to continue it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, my brothers and sisters, and I apologize for taking too long. Inshallah, next week, we're going to move on to the next hadith. Of course, we'll share with you the topic. Inshallah, it will be the topic of repentance, tawbah. جزاكم الله خير هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.